Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. We are joined now by PJ Glasser, our betting insider. Glad to have PJ in on the line, host of the Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Podcast. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the Send It In podcast for more analysis. Just search Send It In wherever you find your podcasts. PJ, we were talking about this. Friday, we make our picks. Last Friday, I basically picked based on the buys just to test my theory at these teams that haven't played in forever are going to be at a disadvantage in college football in the CFP. I think we saw that in all three games so far. Arizona State eventually got the ball rolling. Are we going to see it in the Sugar Bowl, though? Should this be telling us that Notre Dame has a big advantage in this game over Georgia tonight? How are you? Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
I'm good. Yeah, happy holidays to you guys, too. It is something that I think is interesting. You know, that's been a big topic of discussion for, like, the MLB playoffs, especially, and how some of those teams have fared with the long layoff. I think if there's one team equipped, though, to handle that, it is Georgia, just because they've played in the college football playoffs so many times, even when there were four teams. They've played in the national championship two of the last 3 years. So they know what the long layoff is like. Kirby knows how to get his team ready for that. A lot of teams that have been in this position, you know, Kenny Dillingham and ASU have never been in that spot. Spencer Danielson and Boise have never been in that spot. Dan Lanning and Oregon have never been in that spot. So I take it with a grain of salt, because those three teams that we've seen who had the buys, they've never been in those situations before. So it's an adjustment, I think, for those coaches to learn how to maximize that window and get your team prepared for that time period. Whereas Georgia and Kirby Smart, they've been in this position plenty of time. So if there was a team that would be ready from the jump and not look like they maybe are a little bit rusty, I think it would be Georgia. So I don't take too much into it for this matchup.
It's basically a coin flip game, PJ, today. And Gunnar Stockton is getting the start for Georgia with Carson Beck down, you know, for the remainder of the season. And that's got to be the massive reason as to why it's basically a coin flip game. What do you like in this game? What do you expect to see from both of these teams?
So, guys, I think this game is essentially the same game that we saw in the Rose Bowl last year between Bama and Michigan. Tell me it just doesn't have the same feel, right? Georgia's Alabama, Notre Dame's Michigan. Georgia's been there, done that, like Bama had. And much like Michigan, people don't realize Harbaugh didn't win a playoff game until last year when he won two of them, obviously, and won the title. And that's kind of where Notre Dame's at. Notre Dame obviously really hasn't won a game of this magnitude in a long time. Much like that Rose Bowl last year, though, the spread's a pick 'em. The total's 45.5. That game was a defensive slugfest. It was low scoring. It was hard fought. It went to overtime. I kind of think we could be in the same in for the same thing today between Notre Dame and Georgia, like a 24-20 kind of game, 23-20 in overtime, something in that neighborhood. So I lean the under, knowing that maybe we could get screwed a little bit in overtime, but I like the under in the game. I like Notre Dame, though, in this matchup. I picked Notre Dame to make it to the national championship game, knowing that they would have to go through Georgia, and it's because I love the matchup against Georgia. You guys look at the Bulldogs season, and they lost to Bama and Ole Miss, and then they really struggled with Georgia Tech. The Yellow Jackets took them to 8 overtimes. The theme that both of those three teams shared is they have mobile quarterbacks. Haynes King for Georgia Tech had his season high in rushing yards against Georgia. Jalen Milrow for Alabama had the second most rushing yards this season in his game against Georgia. And then Jackson Dart had his third most rushing yards against Georgia. Why has Georgia been able to beat Texas both times? Because Quinn Ewers isn't a mobile quarterback. He doesn't present that challenge for the Bulldogs. So it's pretty much been that simple for Georgia. When they've gone up against a quarterback that can scramble, that can run, they've been in trouble. Keep in mind, DJ Lagway in Florida were tied with them in the third quarter, right? So if you have a mobile quarterback that can make plays, that's kind of been Georgia's issue this season. Riley Leonard has over 700 rushing yards this year, and I think that's going to be Notre Dame's game plan. So you combine the fact that Notre Dame's got one of the best defenses in the country going up against a quarterback making his first start, and then Notre Dame offensively is a team that wants to run the ball to begin with and has a mobile quarterback. I think they match up really well with Georgia, so I like Notre Dame today.
All right, there's that one. We'll talk to you again before they play the next round of games. So we'll hold off on those. Let's go to the NFL. This is an interesting week. There are some games with everything on the line. There are some games with nothing on the line. Seemingly, that is a collision course for the Chiefs and the Broncos. One team, nothing to play for. One team, everything to play for. 10.5 points, though. We talked about this as we kind of opened. 10.5 points. This isn't the preseason. They got to play somebody, right? The Chiefs have to play somebody. Are you really willing to lay 10.5 points in a game? Not. I think the Chiefs could win this game. Let alone
I agree.
10.5 points. That's crazy.
Crazy. No, I like the Chiefs, and I'm with you. I would take some money line too. Look, I get Mahomes isn't going to play. Kelce, Chris Jones are going to have some other starters out. Andy Reid's still coaching last time I checked. Spags is still calling the defense last time I checked, right? So, and don't you guys get the feel? You would obviously have a better idea of this than me. I get the feeling, though, that Kansas City has heard all year that they're like the biggest fraud 15-1 team of all time. Don't you think they're looking forward to the opportunity to play without their stars? Yes. Don't you think they're looking forward to the fact of proving to people that they're a better team than what's perceived of them? And obviously, look, you have a chance to knock out your division rival of the playoffs. This was a team that came into Arrowhead and should have beat them if it wasn't for a blocked field goal. So I'm with you. 10.5 is too many points. Carson Wentz, I mean, who knows how many more opportunities he's going to get to start an NFL game in his career. I think he's looking forward to the opportunity. But I'm with you guys. I mean, you know, this line opened up like 7.5, and then it just kept going up, and now we're getting 10.5 in a game with a low total. I mean, Kansas City's defense, I still think, is going to do a really good job. All the pressure is on Denver in this game. All of it, right? And I know Bo Nix is having a nice season, but at the end of the day, he's still a rookie. And last time I checked, last time Bo Nix had this much pressure on him and he was a 10.5 point favorite was when they were in the Pac-12 championship game against Washington and they lost that game outright. So give me the Chiefs, fellas. I love them. Plus 10.5.
Saturday night, PJ, primetime, it's going to be a big game. The Bengals are clinging on to hopes to make the playoffs. They take on the Steelers in Pittsburgh, and the Bengals are 2-point favorites. This, you know, seems to be outside of the game that determines, you know, in the NFC North on Sunday night. This is the other huge profile game when you've got Bengals and Steelers and the Bengals trying to make the playoffs.
So there's two ways, guys, that I would bet this game. And I have a theory that what Pittsburgh is going to do, obviously, if the Ravens beat the Browns earlier in the day on Saturday, the Ravens win the AFC North. The Steelers know that they're going to be a wild card team. There's a lot of talk of what Tomlin's going to do, right? Because the Ravens are 18-point favorites, they're going to probably win that game against Cleveland. Does Tomlin just not even play his guys? Does he just rest his starters from the beginning? I don't think he's going to do that in the first half. I think they're going to prepare to win. I think the difference, keep in mind, even though the Steelers probably aren't going to win the division, the difference between them getting the 5 seed and playing Houston, where they're going to be a small favorite, as opposed to being the 6 seed and playing Baltimore, where they're like a 7.5-point favorite. So right there, I think, is motivation enough for Pittsburgh to potentially play all their guys and try and win this game so they get Houston instead of Baltimore in the wild card round of the postseason. I have a feeling, though, that Tomlin might rest some of his starters in the second half potentially. So I think Cincinnati's second half could be an interesting look. We know the Bengals obviously have to win this game. They're going to play all their guys. So that could be something to watch. If I think the Steelers prepare to win the game, then they go into the locker room, they assess maybe the score of their game, they see if the Ravens won, maybe Tomlin takes some guys out. Also, another thing I would do, the team that's in the best position this weekend is the Chargers, because they know they're either going to be the 5 seed or the 6 seed. And the fact that the Steelers play on Saturday and the Chargers play on Sunday, LA's already going to know whether or not they have anything to play for. So if you like the Steelers to win this game, I would parlay the Steelers with the Raiders plus the points, because if the Steelers win, the Chargers are going to rest guys. And that -5 is going to turn into like a -2.5, -3. And then you could have yourself a nice middle. If you still like the Chargers to win the game, you can bet them on a shorter money line, have the Raiders +5. It's an interesting way to attack it. But if you like Pittsburgh, I'd parlay them with the Raiders.
I love and hate this week. It's going to make everything hard, right? How do you even handle player props? Like, you can basically only attack games like Sunday Night Football. You know everything's on the line there, right? That's the game. It's like, okay, we know we're going to get everybody's everything in this game. It's going to be fantastic. It gets flexed into the primetime spot. I still think Minnesota's not getting enough respect in the world of football. But what Lions 3-point line? What do you like there?
Oh man, I like Lions money line. Three's about right. I mean, these, you know, Minnesota just they're kind of playing everybody tight. And even in his divisional games, you know, I mean, both wins against the Packers were by one score. This meeting between these two teams the first time around was by a point. So it's probably gonna come right down to the wire. I just think Detroit being at home is going to be the difference. And Minnesota's on like an 8-9 game win streak. You know, we saw the Lions end streak, win streak lose at 10. We saw the Bills win streak lose at about 10. We saw the Eagles. So these teams kind of, their win streaks, you know, it's tough to get like 10, 11 games. I think Minnesota, Darnold's obviously playing great. Defense has done a good job. But I'll take Detroit here at home. It's going to be a close game. I don't want to mess with the three. But if you had to make me pick, I'll take the Lions -160, kind of like the under two. I mean, nobody's going to want to bet the under in this game with how both offenses look and all the injuries on the Lions defense. But these Sunday night games, especially when you get these high totals and these prolific offenses, they tend to be lower scoring games. So little lean to the under and Detroit money line too.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. We've got about 1 minute left, PJ. Any other bets that we didn't get to that you love this weekend?
I like the Jags, guys, +5 against the Colts. That's probably my favorite bet. Do you think the Colts are going to be motivated to play this game at all? I mean, they just lost to the Giants. Their season ended. And now they got to turn around and they got to play another game. I think they're done. I think they're looking forward to the offseason. We know Jacksonville's still competing, right? I mean, Mac Jones wants to stay in the league. They're trying to build towards next year. So that's one of those week 18, like motivation games. Are the Colts going to show up? I don't think they are. So I'm in full fade of Indy. I'll take Jacksonville +5. I take Moneyline +185 as well.
All right, PJ, we appreciate it. We'll join you bright and earlier next week as we shift over to some morning drive. Glad to have you on board for that shift and glad to be ready to get into the NFL playoffs and college football playoffs continue then as well.
Can't wait, guys. Yep, see you next week. Have a good rest of the show.
As the host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser, Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. I'm gonna have a hard time. I already had a hard time last week with bets, Tommy, because I was in Kansas and I had to get all my bets in before I crossed the state line to Texas. So it's like you're following stuff for bets you made on like a Tuesday for a Sunday. And now we get this week, which is just absolute chaos. Yeah, and how do you even know who's motivated?
It's a tough week to make any kind of bets whatsoever. I mean, like even a team like the Eagles that have, you know, been playing great, they're not playing Saquon, you know, this weekend. And Saquon's on the cusp of making history and he's not going to be able to do it. So there's just, it's weird. This last week of the regular season is always bizarre in the NFL. Makes it really difficult to make any kind of pick and feel confident about it.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm taking Chiefs +400. Should they be playing any starters? This will get interesting based on what we were just talking about with time off. We'll talk about the Chiefs' decisions to sit, guys. That's coming when we return. Hour number two, Sports Daily, coming your way.